We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 108. I almost said the word outline because I'm looking at like the outline. Episode 108, outline, like that's the title. Anyway, it's been a long day. Now that I know it's a Tuesday.
That's good. I'm glad you know.
Hi, I'm Emery from MyTakeOnTV.com. I was just going to keep going and not introduce myself.
Okay. I'm Jason the TV Hog from TVHog.com. This week we have joining us
Alex from the TVChick.com.
Yay! Welcome, Alex!
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, see, we don't have much news this week. USA, in kind of a no-brainer, has picked up White Collar for a fourth season. The only thing about USA is I never actually know what season we're on, so a fourth season doesn't really mean anything to me.
Yeah. I didn't even
But good
really
for them. I like the show.
Yeah. It's been really good this season, too.
Yeah, yes. It's kind of when you get 9 episodes here and 6 episodes there or something.
Yeah.
Although I kind of wish if they were doing, apparently they're doing 16 episodes, I almost kind of wish that they had split 8-8 or something. But
that would make more sense.
Because when they come back with the, like, 6 or 5 or something like that, just when you get back into the show, then it is over for a long period of time.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why they do it that way.
Who knows?
It's become the norm, yeah.
Yeah, it's become their, I don't know, it's working for them, I guess. They hit the summer, and then they hit sort of that winter period where there's less shows for, you know, at least for some part of it. And TNT has started doing that more, too, where they've started splitting their seasons.
TNT is really bad. They play, like, 3 episodes of one show. It's like, what are you getting out of 3 episodes? I shouldn't say anything. FX is doing the same thing.
Well, they did do that last season with, like, The Closer, where...
Yeah.
They were doing like a Christmas episode or something like that, but then they decided, well, let's not just come back for, you know, like one episode. Let's have 3.
They did like 2 or 3. Yeah, it was really
They
weird.
Sort of hold it back. They've tried to use that like The Closer to like launch other shows in the wintertime or whatever, you know, bring at least for the first couple of weeks you have The Closer leading into your new show.
And in kind of surprising news, but maybe not because it's been talked about for months now, Fox has officially resurrected Breaking In for a second season, and I am thrilled about it.
I can't say I watched, but I've heard good things, and I like
it. Oh my god, I love it.
I think that it's giving it a second chance. Like, I think that that's a really good thing, so, with any kind of show. So.
It kind of makes me think that they don't have very high hopes for one of the shows we're going to be talking about today.
Apparently the way it worked out was that the creator, Adam F. Goldberg, had another show that he was, you know, that was also being produced by Sony TV, that there was sort of a bidding war going over for, you know, for that show. And Fox's sweetening of the deal was, we'll also pick up your other show that we canceled.
Oh, wow.
And so they ended up getting his new show and picking up Breaking In for 13 episodes. So it's like...
Interesting.
It's
one way to get somebody to do your... Just, you know, be on your network, I guess.
So. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm very excited because I think Christian Slater is amazing. So we'll see when that comes back in January. I have some ideas about what it's going to be paired with, but whatevs. TV on DVD picks. We're going to talk about 2 weeks now because we're not recording because next week is Labor Day. So I'm going with The Office Season 7 comes out on the 6th of September. And I'm not suggesting it because I thought it was the best season. I'm suggesting it more because I need to have the 7th season because I have the first 6. And then for the 13th, I'm obviously picking Third Rock from the Sun, Seasons 1 and 2. Because I love that show.
The show's
and
amazing.
Joey Lovett, oh my god, JGL and that little Tommy was such a dork and I loved him.
Well, of course, on the DVD wall, you can't have a slot missing where Season 7 would go for The Office.
Exactly. That's why I have every episode of Heroes. I didn't even watch them, but I buy them because I need a collection.
The DVD attic.
I really am.
Well, my pick's...
I was like, is anybody else going to go? Because I'm drinking my
for the next couple
right
weeks, I'm... is a couple of comedies as well. Parks and Recreation Season 3 comes out on the 6th.
Oh, so awesome.
Community Season 2 comes out on the 13th.
Good 2 weeks of DVDs there.
Yeah, Parks and Rec had such a great season this season. It's
yes.
Just, it's
oh my
just
God.
Getting so freaking good that, like, I think I'll probably have to buy that on DVD.
Me too.
Yeah. My picks are... No Ordinary Family Season 1. I actually was a fan. This comes out on the 6th. I did watch the whole season. It did get good and then okay and then good again. I liked it. I liked the cast a lot. It was kind of a shame that it didn't really have room to, I don't know, become something bigger. But
yeah,
I liked it.
It's kind of a shame they didn't figure out what the show was going to be until halfway through.
Yeah.
They'd already lost
yeah
their audience.
Right.
And then
right
built to
sure
a really nice finale
okay
that was
yeah,
like
yeah
oh man, that's how they
right
ended it and they're not
yeah yeah totally. And my pick for the 13th is The Good Wife Season 2. Love it, obviously. And yes, of course, if you've heard me guest on this podcast before, I've talked extensively about The Good Wife. And Season 2 was just so good, especially the
so
end.
Good it was so good.
It doesn't even matter that it's, you know, it's procedural and there's cases. It really isn't about that anymore. So I
no
suggest go get it. Go get it.
Absolutely. Agreed. So that's TV on DVD for the week. And now we're going to jump into our CW and Fox Fall Previews 2011.
Yeah, we'll go through the week, Sunday through Saturday, and hit both networks at the same time and then talk about the new shows.
Word.
Sounds good.
Well, for Sunday, there's just Fox, nothing on the CW. Starting on September 25th, the lineup will be The Simpsons, The Cleveland Show, Family Guy, and American Dad. And then sometime end of October, around, I think, the October 30th, Cleveland Show will move up to Before The Simpsons, and a new show, Alan Gregory, will premiere.
Alan Gregory is the one that it stars Jonah Hill as this like precocious kindergartner, and I don't know who else is in it.
Isn't he basically like isn't this show just basically like taking the dog from Family Guy and turning him into a kid? Like,
it's kind of like a combination of the dog and the baby from Family Guy. I don't watch a lot of Fox animated stuff. I watch Bob's Burgers because it's not the same as the rest of the Fox animated stuff, but I mean, I don't know, I like Jonah Hill enough. I understand his humor very well. Like, I think that he's pretty funny, so sure, I'll watch the pilot, but
yeah, same here.
I can't say it'll extend much beyond that.
Yeah, same here. And yeah,
the 3-minute trailer just didn't really, I mean, it tells you what it's gonna be, but there wasn't a whole lot of laughs in it, at least to me. And so, yeah, I'd like to see, like, a whole episode to...
Yeah.
To judge, yeah.
Okay, so moving on to Mondays. Mondays on the CW will be Gossip Girl, followed by a new show, Heart of Dixie, both starting on September 26th. And then Fox has new show, Terra Nova, followed by House. And Terra Nova starts on the 26th, and then House starts the following week on October 3rd.
Well, you haven't seen Heart of Dixie, Emery. I'm sorry.
I haven't. And I'm pretty pissed about it.
I know you're really bitter. But
call back to the pre-show rant for those of you listening.
Those of you who missed it.
I thought Heart of Dixie was awesome. I loved, and I will talk about the other two more later, but I mean, I'm a big CW person, and I you know, have seen their pilots in the past with some not so great ones, and I think all three this year are so strong, and I think I'm really glad to see Rachel Bilson back on TV. And I have nothing negative to say about it. I really think it has a lot of potential, and I can't wait to see more. And I just thought it was so good. I mean, I know people are comparing it to Everwood and such like that, but I loved it. That's just me. Sorry, Amory.
It's okay.
There's definitely no Hellcats in their new lineup this
Hey, I watched every single episode of Hellcats.
I watched most of Hellcats. There's also no The Beautiful Life. Have we forgotten about
that? My God, I've forgotten about The Beautiful Life.
Oh, my God.
So, I might argue...
The Beautiful Life, colon, TBL.
That Ringer is pretty right up there with Hellcats.
Oh, no,
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert.
I like The Ringer.
We haven't got to Tuesday yet. I really like Heart of Dixie.
Yeah.
I think it's really good.
Yeah.
It's more, it's Doc Hollywood is what.
Sure.
I've never seen Doc Hollywood.
I mean, you can compare it to other types of shows where, you know, fish out of water things like Men in Trees or Northern Exposure.
Oh, I love Northern Exposure.
And, you know, stuff like that with somebody not in their element is definitely what the beginning season would be. Big city girl ends up in the small town in Alabama. The cast is really good. It's a good story. It introduces everybody really well and the situation. And I think it looks like it'll be quite enjoyable.
So hard.
I'm looking forward to it. And I really want to see Jamie King succeed in something. I want to see a show that she's in actually work. And I like Rachel Bilson and I love Josh Schwartz, so even though I don't watch Gossip Girl anymore, I used to, because I love Josh, and I support him, so we'll... Terra Nova. Has anybody seen the second hour?
I have not. Have you?
So, I liked the first hour that I saw, and we haven't been able to see the second hour yet, which makes me concerned for how they're going to produce a show a week. If the second hour is still in post-production from 2 years ago, how are they going to do a weekly series?
Maybe they did reshoots. It might not still be in post-production. Maybe they did reshoots that they have to put together.
I hope so.
The other thing that's strange about it is the first, what is supposed to be part one of the two-part, you know, two-hour premiere, is that it's like 56 minutes of actual runtime.
Yeah.
So that's more than, by about 12 minutes, than a normal hour's worth of TV. So I'm wondering how it actually gets cut, like where...
Yeah.
Because this right there leaves you about 80 minutes or whatever, where, you know, it pops up with a to be continued, obviously. Nothing like like the first hour of a show, and you're like, really? It's going to be to be continued?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see, like, is that how... Like, is that like a shortened version of something, or... Or how it's actually going to be cut. It looks pretty good. Where it leaves you at the end of the first part one or whatever that we've seen so far, it leaves you with an interesting, okay, I do want to see now more.
What exactly is
going on. The production of this leaves you...
insane, I think. It has to be.
You would think that they would have a full... pilot premiere maybe they still will have more before, you know, for critics and stuff like that, but
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought I had heard like, oh, you know, it's kind of like Jurassic Park, and I sort of went into it with that thought in my mind, but I thought the acting was really good. I really liked the story, and
I agree.
It really did intrigue me a lot of ways that pilots don't most of the time. Like, a lot of ways I'm like, all right, this pilot is great, but this really kind of had me really, really interested and really on the edge of my seat. Like, what is going to happen?
And I like that they explained it in a smart enough way that, like, it totally works. It, like, you kind of are saying to yourself, like, why on earth are these people, you know, back in Terra Nova or whatever? But it totally makes sense why it happens, and I really enjoy it.
And then they set up a couple different things that happen that you know, they raise a couple questions once they're back in time there. That's saying, like, an interesting thing that I want to know more about, what exactly...
Right.
So there's some sort of mystery there, and it's also interesting that they've been doing it for years. Like, the guy that's, like, the leader of the camp, like, has been there for, like, 8 years now or something like that.
Yeah. And right. So they're Terra Nova 11, aren't they?
Yeah, and so it sets up...
Or are they 10?
That they've been doing, sending more people, you know, and, you know, sort of expanding, but they've been doing it for years since they were able to find this rift and build the, you know, stuff to be able to travel back.
Right.
But there's so much behind it that, like, if it doesn't hit big, like, if there's not a big number, like, that first week, it just seems, it just seems like such a big show that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could fail miserably, like, worse than anything ever.
Yeah, but hopefully it won't, because...
I mean, I think it's accessible for a lot of people. I think a big part about why people maybe didn't love Lone Star, for example, is that it wasn't very, like, how do you root for a con man like that? Like, that's not very common, accessible, but you kind of root for the everyman who goes back in time and is dealing with dinosaurs. Like, I feel like more people are going to be interested in it.
Right.
Jurassic Park was huge.
Yeah, and I really do see shades of it, like, big shades of it, and so I think that people will be interested in watching.
Yeah, it's definitely a family drama set. It just happens to be set, you know, with dinosaurs, and there's, you know, ends up being some action, and so there's a lot of different you know, sci-fi and stuff like that to draw in different groups.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth checking out.
That's Mondays on Fox.
So on to Tuesday 90210.
Oh, here's where I get people mad at me. Okay, go ahead.
And that'll be followed by a new show, Ringer, both starting up September 13th. And then Fox has Glee, followed by new comedy New Girl, and then the return of Raising Hope, all starting on September 20th.
Okay, so let's talk about CW for a little bit. Okay, so I watched Ringer. I don't know what I was expecting, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
That's a bummer.
I didn't think anybody was any good.
Wow. Strong words.
I mean, I think people are going to hate me because I thought Sarah Michelle was the worst part of it.
I don't hate you. I will respectfully say that I really did enjoy Ringer. I don't think it's a CW show. I really don't think it. I hope it succeeds. I think it has a lot of potential, and I did like the whole, you know, twin aspect. I think it has a lot of intrigue to it. I love Sarah Michelle Gellar. She doesn't really do much wrong in my eyes, but and I like Chris Blaha. It's nice to see him back on TV. But I understand, you know, I hope it gets an audience, because just like it really is a CBS type of show. It is more adult. But I mean, there is also people who are like Buffy, yay, like me, that'll be like, yeah, let me tune in. So I liked it, but you know, everyone has their own opinions. It's okay that you didn't like it, so.
Hear that, people? It's okay that I didn't like it.
Don't hate on Amory. She's, you know, she didn't like it.
She has the right to be wrong.
I'm sorry. The show, you will be disappointed if you're going in expecting an amazing television series.
Well, I'm not saying that it's amazing, but I think that they set up an interesting story with lots of... you know, different angles. Everybody's got a secret. Everybody's sort of hiding something, and how it ends, it sets up, you know, you want to see, even though you sort of see that coming, you still are you'll know, you'll pretty much probably know that that's what's coming by the time it does actually air. But I enjoyed it. I like a lot of the people on it, and I'm looking forward to see where they go with it. Getting a chance to be in the press room with them at Comic-Con, I was interested that the creators of the show, that when they created the show, they originally had 3 seasons of, you know, overall story,
right,
you know, going in. And so it's not one of these shows that they had, you know, like a great idea for how to start something, you know, but really have where it goes type of thing. And so I think there's... And it's, I also find it interesting in that the CW is trying to actually expand a little bit from their 18 to 34-year-old female audience a little bit. And I think this is a good sort of bridge the gap type of show to try and get, you know, more people to maybe find out about the CW. I still laugh at the number of people that occasionally, you mentioned something, and they're like, "What channel is that on?" You're like, "The CW," and they're like, "Where is what channel?
What is
that?"
The CW? I'm like,
and you're like,
the
really?
Fifth network.
You're like, still, like you have no. If you like watch any TV, it seems like you would know what like the networks are in your.
You should.
You know, even the smaller ones, you know, or the. You know, in your area, it seems sort of funny, but yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's worth checking out.
No, it's not.
I like those type of things.
Yes, it
with
is.
With the different types, with the different types of mystery and stuff like that. But Alex, how do you compare it to The Lion Game?
I think The Lion Game is sort of definitely for like younger audiences, and it has a different story. I think Ringer's a little bit darker. I'm sure The Lion Game is going to get dark, judging on what the plot of the book is, but...
Yeah, the book's pretty seriously dark.
Yeah, I think they're different entities. I mean, yes, they have similar twin, you know, aspects to them, but I think they're a little bit different. I mean, they also have, like, oh, the whole, you know, boyfriend and then not really the boyfriend and having an affair kind of thing. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert!
Sorry, but no, I mean, they do have very similar aspects of it, but I still think they're pretty different. And I think Ringer is slightly darker, and more fighting and action sequences for sure. So I like both. Somebody asked me if I had to choose between one of them, which would I watch? And I said Ringer for Sarah Michelle Gellar. So who knows, but I think Ringer's definitely worth seeing.
So there you go. Moving on to Fox.
Yes.
I'm going to watch Glee. I mean, I'm not going to give up on it just because some other people are. I will say that I'm very much looking forward to season 2 of Raising Hope as well. But mostly, I really enjoyed the pilot for New Girl. I enjoyed it. I thought it was charming. And Zooey Deschanel, she's the one that can do no wrong in my eyes.
I agree. I didn't know what to expect. Actually, there's still a couple pilots here and there that I haven't watched yet. I've watched almost all of them. That was one of the last that I watched, and I was like, why did I not watch this sooner? She was so cute, so charming. Yeah. I often sing to myself, confession alert, just for no reason. So when that was a nice part of the pilot, and I was like, oh, this is totally me and so weird. But I just thought the casting was really great. The three guys were really good, and... I know that Fox and comedy often don't really mix together, but I would suggest that everybody watch this because it's just so cute.
Agreed.
Yeah.
With New Girl and Raising Hope, that's really looks to be a great hour block of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think that watching like the promo that they have with the baby tearing down
in the monkey suit tearing down the city
as you know he's filming it, and then the dad walks in at the end, and or the grandpa of the baby walks
bananas.
In at the end and
that's
goes bananas.
Oh my god,
it's so classic.
Oh, I love that show.
It's such a great example of what the show sort of does, but I really like New Girl too, so you know, adding it to, like, I keep going back and forth, but it's probably my favorite new comedy of all the new comedies this fall, and putting it with my favorite new comedy from last year, I mean, that's just a great block.
Yeah, it's a really good... It's going to be a solid 2 hours for Fox, I think.
Yeah.
And then Glee, I'm interested... You know, I kind of stopped watching it towards the end of last season, but I'm interested to sort of check it out again to see how putting together a writing staff...
Yeah.
To see how things have changed, to how maybe they've mapped out a season...
Right.
And see how that season starts off. I'm interested to see, you know, like the first few episodes. It feels the same but different, you know? Still brings you the things that are good about it, you know, the singing and the, you know, the comedy aspects and stuff like that, but yet seems to be a little more coherent in a direction that it's going.
Yeah.
Sort of a new direction for in its third season. You might say.
Yeah, I never stopped watching. Maybe I'm one of the few people. I sort of love it for what it is. Definitely reminiscent. You know, I definitely think about the first season quite frequently and how it sort of has gone up and down a bunch. But I love the music, and that's still probably one of the most played on my iTunes. So I'll watch it, and I'm curious to see how this new Glee Project winner is going to affect her. And although I didn't watch Glee Project, I only saw one episode, but
how
I'm
all
curious.
Four of the Glee Project winners are going to fit in?
Yeah, I mean, who knows, you know? But I'm also, like, I'm also curious just to see what they do again, as Jason said, like, yeah, with the writing staff, like, how...
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Tuesday. We're only on Tuesday? Doesn't it feel like we've been doing this for hours?
We had that nice break in the middle. So, on to Wednesday. The CW has a new reality-type series, Hater, starting on September 14th, and that'll be followed by the next cycle of America's Next Top Model, also on September 14th. And then Fox has the premiere of The X Factor as of September 21st, and then a little bit down the road in November, I Hate My Teenage Daughter will follow episodes of The X Factor.
I'll tell you, I'm not watching Hater, but I am beyond excited for America's Next Top Model because it's an all-star season, and like, it's some of my favorite all-stars, like the crazy people and like Lisa, the crazy person, and like people who pee on people's beds and
the transgender
I'm so excited about this. Okay.
Have they ever done one before?
They've not done an all-star season yet. This is the first time.
Yeah. Cause they're, I mean, doing two cycles a season, they're, you know, they've done a lot of them. It's kind of surprising.
They're racking up people left and right. It's surprised it took this long, and I'm so excited. Like, you name it, they're in this list. Like, Brittany, who looks like porn Janice Dickerson, right? And Brie, and Lisa, everybody knows Lisa, crazy Lisa. And what's her name? Laura with the accent? Oh, my God, I'm so happy. I love it. I'm so excited. But Hater, I could care less. I could care less.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's about celebrities I hate, and why would I watch something more about them?
If I'm bored, maybe I'll like watch an episode, but there probably won't be one.
There's so much other stuff on, especially at Wednesday at 8 o'clock on ABC. That why would I watch Hater ever?
Yeah.
I doubt I'll be watching Hater. I think you know, Hater with Slater, but
Mario Lopez.
I think it's actually a semi interesting idea.
Yeah, if it was actual
for a show.
And not like Snooki.
But I think it ends up being sort of similar to like a Dancing with the Stars, where
stars is in air quotes.
They may occasionally hit on somebody that they may be able to get on the show, but for the most part, it'll be some fame whore that's it's like, oh yeah, I'll do another reality show.
Yeah, horrible. So Fox, I don't watch American Idol. I have absolutely no interest in the X Factor. None. None.
I mean, I didn't know much about the X Factor, like, other than hearing a little bit about it, but I finally watched, you know, the presentation that they had, you know, about 12 minutes about the show and stuff like that that they've had out there with the screeners to watch. And the thing that I find interesting about it is it's America's Got Talent, but singing only, basically, is what it really comes down to, because they bring you out to audition basically in front of a crowd and the judges, and then the judges vote. But the whole thing is that it's all singers. You're not going to have, you know, jugglers and all this stuff. And so it wasn't quite as new and revolutionary as it sounded like it might be.
It's horrible. No interest.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It basically gives you all the things that you know, that you see, like, because they've set it up that you can be like 12,
right,
you know, to like whatever, because they have all singers over 25 groups, and then females 12 to 25 and males 12 to 25 is four groups, different types of groups that they'll be having on the show. And I like that idea of having, you know, if you can, basically it's a competition that if you can sing, you can get into the mix. You know, you don't have to be, you know, a young sort of pop idol, like for American Idol. But it's
going to turn into that. It's going to be a popularity contest. Like, it always is.
Ultimately, it'll end up being that, but it has that sort of like Got Talent type portion to it.
Another show I don't watch.
They'll show you like the backstories and things of, and you like in the little presentation, you know, they have like the 12-year-old girl that just like sings the song amazing, you know, and then they also have a lady in her 40s with an interesting backstory. And so part of it will be about the stories that they'll try and convey about these people trying to make it and stuff like that. And I think that's the aspect that...
I'm still not going to watch it.
And it still has they send out the bad singers.
Sure.
It's like Got Talent and American Idol, like, combined is what the X Factor is.
Right, so I'm avoiding it like the plague. You know what else I'm avoiding like the plague? And so should have Katie Finneran and Jamie Presley. I hate my teenage daughter. And I'll tell you what, the reason Fox gave Breaking In, I mean, aside from, like, saying, Adam, we want your other show, I think they know this is going to fail. And I hate it because it's Winston's show, and I love Winston, and I want him to have a show that succeeds. I mean, he's got the middle, and he's so lucky, and I love that. But, God, Teenage Daughter's bad.
It just, I don't know. I think I laughed maybe once. I was just like, this is, ugh, I don't know. It was definitely not a...
Like, when all you can say is like, oh, I don't know. Like, that's
yeah, and I like the actors. That's the thing.
Exactly. Said, yeah? Bring Jamie Presley back to Raising Hope full time. I love her, but oh my God. And Katie Finneran, come on. Like, I love Wonder Falls. Yeah, but she was amazing. She's an amazing Broadway actress. Like,
yeah, she's
oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, not a good setup. Like, because nobody is likable. You can see why the moms hate their teenage daughters, but then you can see why the teenage daughters don't like their moms. Because they're not exactly likable either.
Yeah.
And then part of the situation that they've set up is like is one of them has some weird background and that she grew up on like some away from society type of
cult
thing or something like that, or so to try and make it believable that this totally hot woman has no shot or no ability to get into regular society, it doesn't work.
It does work, like, with a character like Bones, where the writing is believable, that she wouldn't know about, like, pop culture. Like, that's believable. The writing here's not. Like, just do yourselves a favor and don't watch it. Thank us.
What's sad is that I think that they have writers from, like, really good shows on it. So it's just, like, surprising to me how it turned out, you know?
But. Yeah.
I mean, there would have to be a huge tonal shift from the first episode to future episodes to make it watchable.
Agreed. So okay. That's that. That's Wednesday.
So on to Thursday. Thursday, as of September 15th, will be The Return of the Vampire Diaries, and that'll be followed by a new show, The Secret Circle. And then Fox will have The X Factor as of September 22nd, and that'll be followed by Bones as of November 3rd.
So I watched The Secret Circle, and I didn't hate it.
I was going to say, careful there, Emery. I might not dislike it.
But here's the thing. I hated Vampire Diaries, too. Like, I hated it when I watched the pilot. But I watched the pilot, I watched a couple episodes, and then suddenly I was like, hey, this is a really good show.
Yes.
So, I mean, I liked it enough that I'm not writing it off. And I like Britt Robertson a whole lot, and Phoebe Tonkin's great, and the Decker. But he was very good in it. Like, and how can you go wrong? Is Gail Harold is his name, right?
Yeah.
Gail.
He's so great.
Plus, who doesn't love Natasha Henstridge? Like, it just everything kind of everybody's great, and oh my God, Natasha Henstridge was so funny when we saw her at Comic-Con. Like, every time I saw her, she was as drunk as we were, and I loved her for it. But I swear, like, I think it'll be okay. I think paired with Vampire Diaries, with the actors it has, and combined with like how quickly Vampire Diaries kind of hit, I think it will be a hit too.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I mean, I really liked it. For me, Kevin Williamson, just I don't think he would steer a show down a complete wrong direction. As you were saying, the actors are just really, really good, and I love them as well. I thought Phoebe Tonkin was a standout for me. I mean, I love Britt Robertson, and I think she is a star, and I'm glad they're bringing her back to another, like, starring role. But Phoebe Tonkin was just a really nice surprise for me. I was like, oh, this is great. I mean, I know Kevin Williamson says there will be no crossovers. I think that maybe in a few seasons, Vampire Diaries will still be around, but if both are still around, he probably will revisit that because it's such a good world to cross over.
Yeah.
But I liked it a lot. I think it has a lot of potential. I like the witch stuff. I mean, I like the supernatural stuff, so I think it'll be good. I think people should check it out.
Yeah.
I liked it. I like a lot of the cast. I like that it's going to combine. It's not just about the kids. It's a very generational story.
It is.
Yes.
And it's starting from a point where even, you know, the one, Britt Robinson's character, returns, and she has, like, no knowledge of really what's going on. And then the other group of part of the circle has a little bit, but they still have no real knowledge of their parents. And so they set up an interesting backstory that I want to know more of. You know,
right.
I want to see how that unfolds and why, you know, they wanted to get her back. And then Gail Harold as playing, like, the evil bad guy.
I mean, it's what he's born to do. I love him so much.
I mean, because he usually doesn't play that, though, you know, type. He's usually, you know, like,
but he's so
something
good at
more
it.
like he played on, like, Hellcats or something like that, you know. I don't know. He just has the look and the ability to, he pulls that character off really well. I think my favorite line from the interviews and stuff like that at Comic-Con was Natasha Hinshaw is talking about, you know, because somebody asked her about getting onto the show and stuff like that, and she was like, well, you know, Kevin Williamson was, like, thinking about, well, yeah, we need a witch. So, and obviously, Natasha Hinshaw is going to be the person, you know. She's just
right.
Really fun with, you know, her, you know, being on the show and her outlook of it. And I really like her from other stuff that she's done, especially, you know, on TV. And I'm really looking forward to following. And I think it has, with Kevin Williamson, not as is involved in the writing necessarily as he is with Vampire Diaries, but being, you know, sort of at the helm of Secret Circle will keep it. It'll end up having that same pacing type of thing that makes Vampire Diaries so awesome to watch.
Right.
Is that stuff just keeps happening and happening. You're like, whoa, wait, what? You know, and
yeah,
I think that'll make a 2-hour block there of, like, just fast paced, fun drama.
So that's Thursday.
Okay, so Fridays will be Nikita moving to a new night, followed by Supernatural, both starting up on September 23rd, and then Fox will have Kitchen Nightmares, followed by Fringe as of September 23rd.
Yeah, you got nothing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm excited
Supernatural.
For Nikita. I'm excited for Nikita.
I'm excited for Supernatural, I guess.
I'm excited to see where they go with Nikita. Nikita really got good in the second half of the season, and I'm interested to see where they take that. And then Fringe, with where they ended the season, I'm very interested to see where they take that series. And then it's just going to be quite, you know, overall, it's quite a night of TV with, you know, Chuck moving to Fridays, and then also Blue Bloods, which I really liked from last season.
Mm-hmm.
On the other, so, you know, there's a lot of stuff on Fridays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Saturdays, Fox has returned with another season of Cops as of September 10th. And then they'll have repeats. I think Terra Nova episodes are supposed to repeat, possibly on Saturdays, going forward, at least for the first few weeks of the season or something like that. So they'll have drama and comedy encores on Fox, but it's supposed to be Terra Nova, I believe, for the first few weeks at least, giving you extra chance to possibly
to check
catch
it out.
Stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's fall Fox CW. There you go. And we have, like, a couple cable things we want to talk about.
Yeah, moving over to cable, a few things that will be starting up before our next podcast comes out. As of September 12th, The Lion Game is going to be moving up an hour to finish out its season.
Mm-hmm.
And then as of September 6th, the next season of...
I'm clapping because I'm so excited.
I put season 5. I'm, like, really, really excited. Season 4 starts of Sons of Anarchy.
Season 4 premieres amazing, so I don't want to spoil anything, because I feel like if I say anything, I want to spoil anything, because I'm so excited about it, and I'll just keep talking about it, but it's so good.
It really is. An extended, it'll be a 90-minute episode. It's actually around, you know, 58 minutes or something like that of actual show. But yeah, it's really good. The opening sequence, which they showed at Comic-Con, is just there's, like, no real dialogue, but it's just a brilliantly to open the new season.
And they love themselves a high body count.
And the one thing I will say about what is great about it is this season, and they set it up in this episode, get you back to that aspect of Jax not really wanting to be a part of where this thing has gone, where Sam Crow has ended up with the gun running and all that stuff. And so he's got his son back. They're out of jail, and it brings back that storyline that they started in season one.
Right.
While there's going to be a lot of other stuff going on with the new sheriff in town and
C-note.
Yeah, from Prison Break playing.
I love when my shows like line up together. Like I love when that happens.
And who's really good. And so all the things that they have set up going around that, but the main story that's been weaved through this all along that got sort of sidetracked with him needing to get his son being kidnapped
Abel.
Story is brought back into focus.
Yes.
Ultimately with new elements that he still doesn't know about that are because of that trip and stuff like that. So, and finding out more about his past. So some stuff from season three will be brought back in, and then that main storyline that's really been the focus of the show is back, and that's what makes it really good.
Yes. Also, if you watch it and you have a Nielsen box and you help get the pilot or the premiere like 20% in ratings, Kurt Sutter's got all kinds of prizes. So go find sutterinc.blogspot.com and read all about what he's offering to a random follower or blog reader. So that's exciting, and I'm very excited. And I realize that we're only not even done our fall preview, and we still have primetime and reality check, so we're moving on.
Well, the only other
show we're going to talk about is...
The other... Well, don't
is
you,
It's Always Sunny.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Starts up September 15th.
And I'm very excited about it because it's amazing. That's all I have to say. Like, it's so good. And from hearing the storylines that they're going to have this season, like, it's going to be better than it's ever been, I think. And I cannot wait. Nice. So there you have it. There's our fall preview. 7 hours later. I mean, to be fair, we did two networks, so...
Yeah, we did a lot. We talked a lot.
So moving on to prime time. So last week, Jason talked about Alphas because I wasn't caught up, and I'm sort of caught up now in that I did not watch last night's episode, but I watched them all up to it. And I think that Ryan Cartwright is just doing the best work that I've ever seen him do. I mean, I've only really ever seen him as Vincent Nigel Murray, and I loved him there. But the work he's doing as Gary, the high-functioning autistic man, is just, it's wonderful.
Yeah, he's really good in the role, and he really gotten into it where the character that they've created is both adds, some fun comic-type moments and stuff like that. And but he's also so... The high-functioning part of it is that he's aware of his...
Yeah.
what he's like and stuff like that. And
when he said to his mom at the end of last week's episode, "I'm a secret agent now, Mom."
Yeah.
You have to accept that. Like, I almost died. I thought that was genius.
Or where he tells his mom, he goes, "You're not supposed to tell your mom about top
secret
stuff."
Yeah, you don't tell
your
mom top secret things. I love David Strathairn and anything he's in. Like, I think he's fantastic. He's so exasperated all the time, but I think that's part of his charm. And I just think the show is really solid. And I didn't watch last night's yet, so I don't know. But I'm going to definitely keep my fingers crossed to see more. So that's Alphas. Moving on to my favorite current show of the moment. Awkward, period. Yes. Season 1, episode 6, Queen Beatches. Oh my god. Molly Tarloff killed it this week.
She was so good.
When she broke down in her bedroom and was like, "I only shop in, like, you can only find party dresses at a cholo stores, and I do not look good in tangerine." Like, she still managed to be, like, completely absurd, but completely vulnerable at the same time, and I loved that.
I loved seeing her break down because, she is this bitchy cheerleader, which we can all think of people who remind us of that. She is this, like, not bully, but, like, just bitchy girl. And her whole, like, one-liners where she's like, you're welcome. Like, and then when she broke down, I was like, this is fantastic.
Dayanara.
I needed this moment to
make. Yeah.
You're welcome.
And you kind it's of also that, needed it to, you needed it to understand her too, because her mom, and her mom didn't support her. And her mom was like, you will if you keep tracking what you eat. Like another mother, like a good mother would say, honey, like you're beautiful no matter how you are. And this mother's like, just write it all down.
Yeah, they had, there was a couple things in the, or there was really like three elements of the episode. One is the moment where Jenna sort of gives her the Sadie treatment.
Right.
That was really good.
Genius.
But also the sort of breakdown is that it, for Sadie, is that it sort of humanized her a little bit, is you got finally got a chance to see sort of what created the monster. And then Jenna's mom, you know, still wanting to be in the in crowd, you know, even though she's, you know, an adult now and has a teen daughter, but that she still, at the end, when she heard them talking about her daughter, and was still like, no, we don't need to be a part of this. And so it added a little bit to the that mother.
Oh my God, Jenna's mother is the best character on the show.
She's awesome.
But it added a little bit of an element to it where she, while she is still like, you know, has these weird things.
Too old to go to college because,
like,
she can't.
Like what she wants.
Yeah.
Like all those types of things. And like the suggestions for her daughter, you know, trying, because she wants her daughter to be, you know, popular. And
oh my God, do I look like a hooker? My mom made me wear mascara. So good.
But just those three moments in the show gave a little bit of depth to each of the characters.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, for sure.
And they just do so well with the show, and they keep adding these little...
I loved when she like kind of chose a little bit, like how she's going to go forward with Maddie and Jake. I mean, obviously they're going to keep that going, but she kind of chose a little bit by saying, like, I'm going to reply to Jake, I'm not going to reply to both of them. And I like that, because I am Team Jake.
I agree.
If I have to say what team I am.
I'm also Team Jake.
He's adorable.
He is. He's so cute.
It was nice to see Maddie kind of react, like, jealously.
Right, right.
But, yeah,
sure.
but he couldn't say why. Right, he kept asking and stuff. He didn't want to let him
know. He just sounded like he was jealous because he loved Jake a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was good. I can't... every episode, I laugh louder and louder.
Yeah.
And you know what? I will say, but it's not on our list, but I want to add, do you guys watch I Just Want My Pants Back?
I couldn't get through it.
You're kidding me. I thought it was hysterical.
Well, from what I heard, that maybe it gets better after for the first couple minutes. So it's still on my DVR. I kind of was like, I don't want to watch this right now.
Oh my God, it's
so
hysterical.
I'm going to give it a chance.
Awkward. Yeah, you have to. It's so good. Anyway, so that's, do you have more to add on Awkward?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, there are really few shows when they end that night or whatever that I'm like, how is this so good? And that's
I'm the same way
every time, and I'm like, oh my God, I just want more. So
exactly. I wish it was longer than a half an hour. Speaking of shows that I wish were longer than a half an hour, because I will die without the show, Happy Endings season 1, the mysterious episode 13, Why Can't You Read. I've watched this episode 5 times now. I love this show, like, absurdly love it.
This is one I'm going to catch up with.
You have to, because
it starts. Oh, without a doubt, I will. I will, without a doubt.
And
It's a good episode. It was probably like episode 8 or something like that originally, or episode 10 or somewhere in there. If you had the episodes in the actual order, you know, I'm glad that they actually did decide to, you know, air it, so that you got a chance to see it without it, you know, showing up on, you know, first chance to see it on the DVD or something like that.
It's not even on the DVD.
Really? They did.
They're not putting this episode on the DVD. Really? But, and I heard, like, some people say that they thought it was, like, a weak episode. I've been in the, I guess, minority, because I've loved every episode, even, like, the ones that people say are the not good ones. There's something about the way that these six people interact together, and, I love everything that they do. So I don't know. I laughed hysterically, like, to the point where I, like, was laughing out loud at my desk at work watching this one episode where, or one scene where, like, Jane's making horrible jokes, and they're horrible jokes. But the way that Brad is, like, so supportive and laughing at her, like he was classic. And I think epitomized why I love it so much. Like, he is so supportive of his crazy wife and her stupid jokes, and it's genius.
While at the same time being totally focused on finding a B-shaped cookie.
A B-shaped cookie, because his name starts with a B. Oh my god, just so good. Just so good, and I implore everybody to watch it. It's got the Modern Family, Postmodern Family spot, and I don't think you will be disappointed.
It was a pretty good episode, but Happy Endings has the thing of being that show that it's so good when it's really good that somebody will say, well, that was kind of a weak episode, but you're just like, yeah, but a weak episode of this still comes in at, like, above a really good episode of other things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, the interaction between them, for me, it started a little rough, but they definitely built this cast chemistry that now, it just works. Mm-hmm. Even in something as absurd as listening in on her phone, which,
right,
unless she was continually dialing him over and over again, you couldn't listen to her for like 3 days.
I feel like they can explain that away, that like she probably was continually dialing because she doesn't know how to use
it. It's one of those things that you just go,
it totally works because Project Penny was amazing.
That you just go, it doesn't matter that it couldn't really happen, but that they set it up with there are no good reality shows, and then listening to her try to be the cool boss became like the best reality show.
Yes. So anyway, we're going to ramble on about this, but we loved it, so everybody needs to watch it. And it premieres in 3 weeks. Our last show in primetime before reality tonight is Suits. Just want to talk a little bit about season one, gearing up for the finale, because the finale is next week. I just kind of love everything about this show.
Me too. I just do. From the incredibly good-looking cast to... a little bit in love with Patrick Adams. I have confessed my love to Amory before.
Yes.
just the unlikely sort of, I don't know, they had Gabriel Macht and Patrick Adams just have such incredible chemistry. And I kind of didn't think I would want to take on another show. I mean, it's a summer show, but I was kind of like, oh, well, it's another, you know, it's a USA procedural. Like, I have white collar in my life. Like, I don't know. But I just think every episode has been so tight and so well written and so, like, just, it's again another procedural that's not a procedural. It's about that relationship. It's about his relationships. And it's just, oh, I just love it every time I watch it. It's another one that I just think is so good.
Yes.
It's really good. The only thing that I would say, you know, sort of not positive about it is that I think they've hit on his hiding not being a real lawyer thing. Like, that has, like, come up or been found out or almost found out, like, too many times in, this first season.
Well, when they establish a show like this where there's going to be something like that, it's going to continue to come up. It's just... It's going to continue to come up.
It just seems like it came up too quickly, like, you know, at the beginning of the season, and then it popped up, you know, multiple times throughout the season to, you know, and in some cases ended up working out in his favor where he actually, you know, somebody gets him into the Harvard database, you know,
right,
and to help even cover the story, you know, better and stuff. It just seems like they've hit it one too many times so far in the first season. I don't know. That's the only thing. But the rest of it, they tell interesting stories. You know, the guest stars have always been good. Their chemistry is really good. And then, you know, I like a lot of the sort of the side characters too. Like, his assistant she's like the best thing about the show. Almost, I mean, she's just, because she can quote all types of, you know, sci-fi type movies and action stuff.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And she just got great. All this stuff. And
I will say, love Lewis. Like,
he's so smarmy and gross and horrible. And
he's so awful. He's so awful, but I think he's like one of the best written characters on the show.
I agree completely.
Like, I want to just wring his neck every time I see him, but I'm like, this is so hilarious. Did you guys notice the picture of himself on his desk?
I noticed that this week.
Yeah.
I love that.
To me, that just those little details. And I actually really love the paralegal who, like, kissed
Rachel? Is it Rachel?
I think it's Rachel. I like her. I think she's sassy. I enjoy her.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. Yeah. Oh, so good. So good.
All right. So let's do a little Anne Marie. That's my name. Anne Marie's reality check. So food truck race. I'm liking it. I didn't watch the first season, so I wasn't sure what to expect, but I like Tyler as a host. I think he's doing a really good job. I hate Chris from Hodgepodge. He's horrible, and he looks like Jonathan Lipnicki from Jerry Maguire. That's not why I hate him, but I can't stop thinking about how that's what he looks like. I don't know. The Seabirds need to stop talking about being vegan and just be vegan and make good food, and I'm very glad that Café Con Leche is gone because I couldn't stand that girl. But other than that, very excited to see how the season plays out. The challenge. I'll be honest and admit that I've watched every challenge, except I think Fresh Meat 2, or maybe the Gauntlet 2. One of them I didn't watch. However,
wait,
I am
moved
so
on to the
glad
food truck race. You moved away from the food truck race. I wanted to say something about the food truck race.
Oh, okay. So, I like how you realized three sentences into the challenge.
You said the challenge, and I was thinking, like, the challenge of cooking the mushrooms or something like that. And then all of a sudden I was like, no way, she's talking about the next show.
She's moved on.
No, but like I didn't watch the first week of this season. And so did they explain more like in the first episode that show off really more about what each truck was about? Like what their sort of style or what it was?
No, why do you ask?
In the first week? Because I still can't, like, what is the lime truck? Like, what do they do? Like, what is their thing?
I think they have explained it. I think they just do, like, high-end good food.
Yeah, because I get, like, you know, I get, like, the Korean barbecue and you know, the Cuban truck and the vegan truck, you know, all these. But there's, like, a couple of them, and I'm watching it for, like, these last two episodes, and I'm like, what is their, like, thing, you know, because that says you have to, in those, like, the challenges at the beginning, you got to create something that's in, makes sense with your truck, like what you do and stuff.
Yeah.
But what I've seen them do, and I'm just like, well, I don't understand what they do. So I need to go back and watch the first episode. Maybe they explain, I thought maybe they gave a better idea of what each type of, when they introduced all the trucks or something like that, of what they were about and where, you know,
right,
not just where they were from.
I don't remember, honestly, but they do something like.
But again, I want to know what the marketing is behind these things when one truck makes $6,000 in a weekend.
I think that Carilla is just better than everybody. They're just better.
Because that is, that's a lot. It just seems like a lot. Like if you could do that, wouldn't you just like run a food truck just on the weekends and take the rest of the week off?
Yeah.
You would think so.
I don't know. I'm enjoying it, and I don't think too much into that. I'm moving on to
the challenge.
Not the challenge, but the challenge. Okay, so I'm really glad that Wes and Kenny didn't win because I hate them, and they should stop doing these shows. But I'll admit that I've watched every single season except, like I said, either Fresh Meat 2 or Gauntlet 2. I don't remember which one I didn't do or didn't watch, but I swear to God. Kenny, Wes, retire, leave me alone, and stop being around in my life. I don't care. I'm glad Paula finally won. It's pretty sad that this is all she does, really, and she's been in 7 finals and has never won until now. So congratulations, Paula Walnuts. You've won. Maybe MTV should stop making these shows, but if they stop making them, I would go through the challenge withdrawal. So it's kind of a toss-up, and I miss CT, and I wish that he was there. So that's the challenge. Expedition Impossible, I was kind of hoping that the blind team would win. Well, the one guy who's blind. Not bad for coming in second place. Blind person and a broken leg, and they came in second place through the, like, trails of Morocco. And they really only lost because the blind guy left his backpack at the bottom of a mountain. And so, like, he had to go back down for it. Like, they could have won. It would have been amazing. So that's Expedition Impossible. I don't think it'll get a second season. I hope it does, though, because I really like Dave Salmony, and I really thought that it did well. Like, it was a good enough show that, like, it's a perfect, amazing race in the spring, in the fall and the spring, and, you know, Expedition Impossible in the summer would be great. So, let's think about it, ABC. And lastly, Project Runway. I kind of hate every designer. Like, I have years or, like,
seasons
where...
So they're off to a great start.
Yeah. I have seasons where it's, like, you know, there's only one person you can really root for, so they're clearly who you want to have, like, as your favorite going in. But, like, everybody just, nobody's making clothes that I think are attractive, and everybody hates everybody else. There's a man who originally I thought reminded me of my dad, because he was like this, I mean, aside from the fact that he is a, you know, a gay fashion designer, my father's not, but he just, I don't know, he was started off like this nice older gentleman that I thought everybody was going to be like mean to, but then he turned out to be a super dick, so I don't care about him anymore. I don't know. I just, I hope it gets better. Anyway, that's reality for me.
Yay.
So that's our show.
That is our show.
You know where to find us? Oh, thanks, Alex, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. And so we're off for next week because of Labor Day. Enjoy your holiday weekend in the States and enjoy your weekend not in the States. You know where to find us? TVtimes3.com. Spell it all out. Jazz hands, Gus. And Twitter and that place that I never remember. Literally, I cannot remember.
As of now, you can go to Stitcher.com/TV.
Stitcher! I knew it started with an S.
It's Stitcher.com/TV, and it'll give you, you enter in your email address, and it'll send you how to download and the app for your phone. Or you can just go to and download Stitcher for iPhone, Android, whatever. And when you sign up, if you type in TV as the code, it'll do two things. One, it'll give us a dollar. And the second thing it'll do is it'll automatically put TV Times 3 into your favorites so you won't have to search and find it.
Nice. That helps.
Nice.
So
that's where you find us.
So you can support the podcast and listen to it in a cool new way, which is Stitcher has actually become one of the ways that I listen to podcasts most of the time now, ever since I've found it. I listen to, you know, a bunch of other TV podcasts and movie podcasts and stuff like that all on there, just streaming audio right to your phone anywhere you are.
Nice. Are you getting paid by them? Because it sounded like an advertisement. In like a good way.
I wanted to say that it's sort of if you sign up and you haven't done the thing before, that we'll get a dollar. It goes into the TV Times 3 account. So it's sort of like an affiliate type of program and stuff. So I wanted to be, you know, forthcoming that if you go to Stitcher.com/TV, that there is a potential small gain for us, for anybody that happens.
You will really support us.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You can support, help us pay for hosting and whatnot. And then also just, it's a cool way to listen to stuff. In the vein of sort of, I guess you could say that it's an advertisement, but in another way, it's also, wouldn't say anything about it if it wasn't actually useful and I didn't actually use it, so.
Right. All right, so that's it for us today. Our music, as always, was provided by IODA Promonet. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers, put out from their Mercurial title, put out by Yellow Dog Records. And that's all for us, folks, because, and I haven't said this in a while, but for realsies, gotta eat.
Me too, yay.
Yay, okay, yeah, so
especially since we had a little bit of a
a little delayed.
Yeah, well, when you listen to the episode, it won't be much longer than the average episode. It took us much longer to record this episode.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Yes.
So I hope you appreciate it, people. Everybody have a good night. I'll talk to you later.
You too. Okay.
Adios.
Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
That was a good practice run.
Oh, no, I like that intro. We need to leave that intro in. Because it's classic us,
okay.
Or me.
And this week
Alex.
We have joining us.
Oh, sorry.
She's a regular now. She doesn't need the...
We need to start again.
I'm Amory from MyTakeOnTV.com.
I'm Jason the TV Holic from TVHolic.com.
Go ahead. I thought you were going
to... This time you were waiting for me to say...
You're a disaster. Okay. Do you want to intro me or do you want me to intro myself? Either way, it's fine.
All right, now that we're through that.
You know, we turned a 45-second intro into like 2 minutes, so that was awesome.
Go on.
Alex, I'm going to hang up on you and then call you back because you've gone garbled on me. Hey, Amory, say something.
Hello.
Oh, you've both gone.
I can hear Amory. I can hear Alex just fine.
Awesome. Yeah, but I can't hear either of you.